welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Fantastic. I would like to take approximately 27 or 28 minutes of your time for those of you that clock watch. For those of you who are here for the first time, I want to welcome you. My name's Heath. And for those of you who are sitting here and are not quite sure what's going to happen next, I'm going to share something with you that I honestly believe you need to take note of. You are responsible for what you're about to hear. And with that, you choose to do whatever you want to do with it. But I'm going to do my responsibility and I'm going to deliver something to you. Ultimately, it's your responsibility what you do with it. So if you don't want to take responsibility, stick some cotton wool in your ears, cover your ears right now, leave the building, because then you don't have to take responsibility for what you've heard. Awesome. Everybody's staying. Fabulous. Father, I ask you just to bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning you came to a dedication. Why do we pray? Why do we dedicate? Why do we acknowledge in this space that there is a creator? Well, follow my thinking just for a moment. Because if there is a creator, it ultimately means that you and me are actually worth something. If there is no creator, then there's a whole lot of stuff we're journeying through a society that is pointless. It's absolutely pointless. And I'll show you. You see, it strips away the notion when we pray today that we live, we die, and our greatest achievement of life is caught up in our bank balance, our car, and how successful we appear to those outside. By acknowledging a Savior, we strip this whole thing away. We take time to thank God for our kids today. I wonder when the last time you thanked God for yourself was. When was the last time you prayed over yourself and said, Jesus, I want to thank you that I'm alive? The stats will tell you that 95% of the time we speak negativity over ourselves instead of the things that God speaks over us. And I'm going to show you where we get that from. If we don't acknowledge a Savior, then our existence, our feelings, our self-esteem, our emotion, our life circumstances mean nothing. Therefore, you are nothing and I am nothing. Therefore, it matters not how I treat you or how you treat me. So don't get upset when I offend you if you don't believe there's a God, because it doesn't matter. It makes no point. There's no difference. Don't get upset. I won't get upset when you hit me back, because it makes no difference. Well, let's just be nice, because it's nice to have a nice environment. What's the point? If there's no God, party all day, do what you like, have an affair, do whatever you want, because there is no God. Because your life is this short of 70, maybe 70, maybe 80 years, and then you're done. And who cares? That is the reality when you bring it down and you want to be absolutely logical with it. We're not doing today because it's a nice thing. That's not the point. These young lives that we prayed over, and I think your life, are packed full of potential. If you want to do something really brave, turn to the person next to you and say, you're packed full of potential. It's not easy to say. And our lives are packed full of potential. Yours and mine is. This is what I believe. But the thing that comes and stops it is simple. It's really simple. It's not the argument about the church and theology and whether the church fits or not. The church is still the hope of the world. Jesus is still king. He's still Lord. That is the deal. The real thing comes down to two words, truth and lie. It comes down to truth and lie. You see, we decided as a house, because our Bible said that we will build on no other foundation. The scripture says there's no other foundation except Jesus. So it doesn't matter what else you're building on. It's not on a foundation. So that thing is crumbling. It has a time span. Whether it looks sexy for the next 25 years or 30 years, it is coming down. It's falling. It's going to have no impact, no significance. It doesn't matter. Maybe they'll write a song about you one day, but it ain't going to matter. Because if it's built on Jesus, that is actually where things are eternal. Our schools, our workplaces are packed with lessons and sessions on self-esteem, mental health, positive thinking, my life matters. But without a creator, this means nothing. It's a temporary fix. It's a feel-good. There's no eternally connected or rooted deal. Some of you are thinking, I should have left and I should have covered my ears. But we pray and dedicate because we believe and yes, we know that there is a Savior. Maybe I can get an amen. Amen. And His name is Jesus. And He did die and He did rise again for you and for me. And that means your life matters and my life matters. Therefore, if there's a Creator and a Savior, guess what else there is? There's a real enemy. There is a real enemy, and his plan is simple. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the plan for you from one side. The enemy side, I've come to kill, steal, and destroy. Make no bones about it. He's out for you, and he'll get you any way he can. And he will tease you into it. I'll show you in a moment. But on this side, here's the other deal. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. This is not a war between two because Jesus has already won. This is a decision that you get to make and then live it in a place of empowerment because Jesus is in your life to actually walk in the victory that we already have. If you believe in Christ, the Bible says you are already seated in heavenly places. Heaven's already begun, my friend, because that's where you are seated. I could say to you, oh, you're in the rugby stadium now. No, you're not. You're seated in the church. But my Bible says you're also seated in the Spirit in heavenly places. Therefore, you're already in victory. You're already in eternity. You're not waiting for eternity to come. You've already entered it. Some of you are thinking, oh, when we get there, we're there.
Yes.
We're there already. Yes. You may not be there physically, but spiritually, you are already there. Yes. Why are we then existing as if we're still in the muck? But here's the thing. It's a truth and a lie. 2,500 years ago, there was a Chinese military savant. Sun Tzu is his name. He said this, know your enemy. You got to know your enemy. I would say to you as well, before you want to know your enemy, know your God. Because it doesn't matter what he's doing, but know your enemy. There's a little graphic I want to put up in the thing. It's got all the lines on it, Francois. It talks about these three things. Here's the three-part game plan for the enemy. It's three parts. If any of you have ever done sports or you're doing that, there's a game plan. There's a game plan today how Liverpool are going to win the Premier League. I'm telling you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Laugh. You all laughed at me last week. Nobody's laughing now, are they? Here we go. Number one, the devil. He is real. He comes with deceptive ideas. He comes to deceive. Number two, there's the flesh. This thing here. It plays to the disordered desires. The devil says, do what makes you happy. Okay, I tell you what makes me happy. I'm going to pleasure myself in any way I like. So you play into the disordered desires. And then the three, the world comes and puts a stamp on that and normalizes what we've already been walking in as disorder. Yeah. Let's take what is disorder. And if I had to go through a couple of things and said to you, 30 years ago, we wouldn't have done this. You could name lots of things. Suddenly, what has been tolerated now dominates. Yeah. Suddenly, we're walking. And half the time, it's because the church don't say anything about it. Because we sit there thinking, do you know what? We don't want to cause a stir. We don't want to disagree. Do you know what the church is? We love people. Bottom line, we love people. But can I tell you this? When you come to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in you, something changes and your lifestyle will never be the same again. You think, oh, but I want to get all my ducks in a row. You're never going to get your ducks in a row. Let the ducks quack and just come to Jesus. And then when they come, Jesus will sort out the ducks, where they have to go and how it has to look. But that's the three-part game plan. The devil, the flesh, the world. Deceptive ideas. Play into disordered desires, and then we normalize it. This is normal. You know, I read a stat yesterday that affairs are on the rise. Affairs. Not just affairs in marriage, but affairs in relationships that have been close. But it's normal. It's normal. It's normal to betray the covenant. It's normal to walk away and go, does it matter? It's quick. You just sign a document and off we go and we're done. We've made things normal. And here's the tactic of the devil himself, the lie. Read with me, John 8:44. If you haven't got your Bibles, I'll read it to you. It's not on the screen. This is Jesus talking to the religious people. Or maybe I did. No, I didn't put it on the screen. You're of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He's talking to these guys who claim that they're the church. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. This is Jesus talking about the devil. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, the real enemy, What if what I'm saying is true? What if I'm telling you the truth today? What if I'm not pulling the wool? What if this is really the deal? What if it's as simple a game plan as that? There's the enemy, there's Jesus. He wants to destroy you, he wants to give you life. What if that is the, let's cut across all society, all problems, all things that we think are coming in on. What if it comes down to that? You see, the enemy comes to complicate. Let's simplify, because Jesus said the genius of God is simplicity. If it really comes down to truth and lie, the real enemy who uses lies to pull you away from the truth of who you really are, and if his tactic is lying, guess what? It's not going to be blatant. It's going to be subtle. It is so subtle. If you had to shout at me today, Heath, you're bald, and you're trying to convince me I'm bald, number one, I've looked at the mirror a few times this morning, and number two, my hands can go like this and generally tell that I'm not bald. It's not blatant like that. That's not how he works. How the lie works is like this. He subtly twists what the truth was, just shifting it maybe a degree. His suggestion is to you that actually you are worth nothing. He twists and he begins to suggest. He also suggests that the stuff you are doing that you know inside you shouldn't be doing, it's okay. You deserve it. It's all right. Don't worry about it. It's not hurting anybody. He appeals to your pride. I've got to save face. And he also comes with false promises. If you, I will. Here's a history lesson. Some of you like history. The devil, Satan, Lucifer, all the same person, created by God. Oh my goodness, God, why did you create him? That's why we have all these problems. If you hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have done this. Stay with the story. Therefore, God created him. He's not God's equal. He's a created being with a beginning and an end. His role, originally, actually helped the spiritual formation of you and me to honor and exemplify the things of God. That was his role. I'm going to help develop them in all that they see and can become. That was the deal for him. But he drifted and he used his skills set to tempt human beings into spiritual, not formation, but deformation. He sat on God's divine counsel. He was on team, if you want to call it like that. And along with others, he calibrated over God's design. But then he decided to shift this thing. God, I think I'm better than you. I think I can do it better than you. And he enlisted a rebellion. Let's rebel. So for the last couple of thousand years, he's been known as the Prince of the World, leading humans in their quest for autonomy from God. If you don't know what autonomy means, it's separation. I don't need God. I'm a human being. I can decide everything. Yeah, you go for it. The interesting question is when you one day lie on your deathbed, if you get to experience that moment, what we think about that when we get there. Isn't the grace of God beautiful that he waits even till your last breath? He says, all you got to do is cry out to me. And then Jesus came. Jesus came to do three things. Number one, to destroy the works of the devil, John 3:8. To bind the strong man, Mark 3:27, and to set humanity free, John 8:32. But what the world is painted is Jesus hasn't come to set free, he's actually come to bind us. And anything mentioned in Scripture and about Christianity right now, and if it's taintly against the world, there's an ostracization coming the other way. It's clear. Jesus' victory over the devil, which we celebrated the first Easter, sealed the devil's fate. The devil's lost. Do you know that? He's lost. So for those of us, and me included, when I let him have his way and grab hold of things in my life, I'm letting a loser impact my character. I'm letting a loser impact my character. Now he's behaving like this dying dragon, thinking if I can just get my claws into somebody and take them where I'm going, then at least I'm not going alone. He is grabbing at everything. If you go right back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden, Jesus put there was Adam and there was Eve, and he said, here's the garden, do as you will, enjoy it, spend time, but that one tree, just no. And the enemy comes in and says, did God really say that? Do you not think if you eat that thing, actually you're going to become as God or superior? And he's lying to you? And suddenly we get sucked into the deception. And you say, well, I wouldn't have done that. Of course, I would have done it. We get sucked into the deception. And suddenly the thing begins to roll from there. Some of you are sitting there, I can see in your face, you're saying, really? Is this true? Is it really true? Or are we just sucking some myth out of our finger? You see, that's the devil's greatest trick, to trick you so that he doesn't even exist. That's how good he is. John 10:10 says, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I've come to give life. That's the goal on your and my life. Here's the crazy thing. We get to choose. He doesn't say, I've come to kill, and then he wins. You get to choose to allow him to walk in that. You get to choose to live out his purpose in your life. And wherever he finds life, anything of life, his goal is to tear it down, corrupt it, take its beauty, push it towards anarchy and tyranny. Think about sex. Think about sex. Sex is now what? A product? It's something we sell with. It's a pleasure. It's something that I deserve. It's something that I should get whenever I want to get. Instead of reflection of a covenant, a pleasure in marriage for a man and woman who were created by God initially. God created sex. Look what the world's done to sex. Human trafficking, prostitutes, online, blah, 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 blah. 86%. I don't know if I want to say this. No, maybe I won't. Some of you will walk home and go, my goodness me. But right in the middle of this story of destruction, there's a big but. A huge but. And we like buts, don't we, Oliver? I see you giggling. Jesus. Laugh, mate, it's good. Jesus, the author of life and all that is good and pure, walks into the situation and says, I'll pay the price for your mess ups. And even if you mess up again, I'll still pay the price. And even if you still don't get it right, guess what? I'm still paying the price. Because the covenant doesn't depend on you, it depends on him. And the relationship doesn't actually depend on you, it depends on him. He's still coming after you, wherever, however far you can go, wherever you think you can get to. You think this is too good to be true, I've got to get it right, I've got to fix. You're not going to get it right. I messed up a couple of times yesterday. I could stand here condemned. I can't come up here and tell them about the goodness of God. No, I can, because he's actually forgiven me. He's redeemed me. He set me free. And I'm just walking in the same what you're walking in. It's no different. We like buts. Now he comes and he says, I can restore, I can redeem, I can renew. He lays down his life so we can have life. He gives invitation to relationship and eternal life. But we still feel inadequate times sometimes, don't we? We don't feel like we have this wrestle. Those of you who've given your hearts to Jesus, you know that your spirit is seated in heavenly places. But there's still this old stinking way of thinking. You know? Can somebody be an alcoholic and be saved? Of course. Of course they can. Can somebody be a prostitute and still be saved and go to heaven? Of course. Because if you think you suddenly get saved and you work it all out in a moment, my goodness me, that's never happened to me. I've seen people come off addiction in a moment when they've given their life to Jesus, but generally we go through a journey and a story. That's why we have grace for one another. That's why be careful the finite statement you make over somebody's life. Because guess what? They grow and change and mature. They shape. They become different. Don't remember, oh, do you remember that family member? How many of you are thinking, oh, remember those family members? Whenever you talk about them from 20 years ago. They're always like that. No, they're not always like that. They can change. They can shift in who they are. But we feel opposition, love and lust, honesty and saving face, self-control and indulgence. Yes, but Heath, some of you are sitting there and I can see it in some of your faces. I just read it and I don't want anything to do with any of it. I don't want Jesus. I don't want the devil. I just want to live my life. Unfortunately, I got bad news for you. There is no middle ground on this thing. There's one or the other. I think that's harsh. It's not harsh. It's truth. And Jesus came and made a way that you can have life and life in abundance. Either Jesus is crazy or he's really true. He said, I'm the Son of God. No other religious leader said that. He's either a nutter or it's actually the truth. And you have to decide. We met some people a couple of weeks in Dubai from different nations in the subcontinent. They've paid with their lives for saying yes to Jesus. lost their inheritance, lost their honor in the family. I don't know what that feels like. But they said yes because they encountered somebody and went, wow, how can I say no to this? And Jesus presents all of this in front of us and said, here's the way, here's the truth, here's the life. I love you beyond. And the only thing that's stopping you from receiving that, you see, it's already been done. Your sins have actually already been forgiven. It's an acceptance of saying, okay, I'll receive the gift. It's like Christmas when you know there's that one gift and you think, I don't want to unwrap it, and you leave it there, and sitting in there is the actual thing that you really want. And we don't want to unpack it and unwrap it because it actually, we think it means, oh, I've got to give up everything. You will. You will lay it down for Jesus, but you'll receive something more than you've ever received before. You'll receive something more than you've ever received before. I'm going to bring this to a close in the next 6 or 7 minutes. I just want to touch on the truth. The truth, by definition, is reality, apparently, or that which corresponds to reality. Reality is what you run into when you're wrong. So if I were to go on the top of this building later and shout, I believe I can fly, and then jump in a couple of seconds, what will I be met with? Reality. I will be met with reality. And we often call that, in the English, a dose of reality. Have you ever heard that phrase? They need a dose of reality. Do they really? Maybe we do. When we call something a lie, what we're saying is it doesn't correspond to reality. Saying, yeah, okay, follow me here. It doesn't correspond to reality. So I don't know what your arguments were like at home this morning, but who left the towel on the bathroom floor? And which one of you men still don't pick up your underwear? And you expect your wife to pick it up for you? Which one of you ladies have left the makeup out still on the sink? You know? And what? It wasn't me. Have you ever seen it with children? Who ate the last biscuit? Do you know that somebody's got to eat the last biscuit? Why did you eat the last one? Well, who the heck else is going to eat it? At some point, somebody's got to eat the last biscuit. It's no good at sitting there and waiting for something to happen. We have this argument in my house all the time. Who ate the last one? Well, you know, sometimes me and Leah, we just go, well, we did. Oh, now who are we going to fight again? But there's this argument, and nobody owns up, do they? Some of you go get a snack in the middle of the night. You're taking your snack, and then you're like, who took that? Wasn't me. Crumbs, but wasn't me. Who? And the greatest deception is not our cover-up of something we've done wrong. It's not even the lies we tell or believe or live or have spoken over people. Our greatest deception is that there's no redemption from where we are. The greatest deception the enemy is coming is there's no hope for you and you can't get out of what you're in. And that is a lie. The devil is a liar. He's not going to speak anything of the truth because his character cannot say anything that's truthful. There's always an angle on it. And you don't find purpose once you get your act together. When I get my act together, I'm going to come to Jesus. Jesus doesn't want your act together. He just wants you to come. And then your act will start to get together. Not because you follow a religious belief system, but because actually you fall in love with the Savior and the Holy Spirit lives inside you and you connect and you have relationship and relationship changes everything. Remember when some of you fell in love? Some of you are really looking dazed now. Is that what happened all those years ago? Yeah, you saw her, he saw you. Suddenly your eyes were across there. Some of you older guys got to really think back now. Yes, I remember that moment. Think about it. You fell in love. You adjusted your behaviors because you fell in love. Some of you stayed up later. Some of you put your money into something. Some of you bought stuff you've never bought before. Your mother's looking at you. You've never bought me flowers. Yeah, but Mom, you don't understand. This woman. This woman. Some of you spend differently. You see, what happens when you come into a relationship that connects you, you change your priorities. And I'm saying to you, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, your priorities change because you fall in love and you receive something that you've never received before. You're thinking, I'm loving you, Jesus. He's like, you ain't loving me like I'm loving you, buddy. Beyond. And so we change. And something changes. Let's take it a step further. Do you remember, you know, these mental maps we have? In order to drive here this morning, I have a map in my head. I don't need Google. And when I get in the car, I can approximate how long it takes from here to there. Maybe a bit of traffic, left, right, turn right. We know what time to leave home. We know what time to get you. Because why? We have a map of how that works. When we get lost, or when we don't have a map, we get lost. And we end up in a frenzy, thinking, where are we? Still, people get lost with Google today. And there's this thing, and this voice talking to you, left, right, back, forward, please turn around. You know what's even better than Google? I'll give you a hint. Go on Waze. You can make your own voices up. It's really cool. Then you can listen to these funny voices while you're driving. Just a side hint for you there. Some of you, don't go on it now, okay? Because your phone will shut down in Jesus' name if you go on your phone now. But here's the mental map. If my mental map is not right, I get lost. What is a mental map? A mental map is a bunch of ideas that you have taken on to be truth. The question is, where did the ideas come from? And if the enemy is a liar and he has sowed you ideas over time, suddenly you've begun to build a mental map of how things take place. For instance, in the areas of who you are as a person, in the areas of money, in the areas of relationship, in the areas of sexuality, we build these mental maps, and as human beings, we can hold them as truth, and we can also dismiss them. But if they're emphasized enough, they become what we think is truth. What if some of the things you're believing about yourself, the negative things, are not true? What if they're not true? What if what somebody has spoken over you is not true? You see, we can make even lies into reality for ourselves. Speak to why do we have so many self-esteem issues? Because we've made lies a reality. Why do we have so much depression? Because we have lies a reality. I'm not decrying people going through it. Why do we have so many fathering issues of men who can't be real men? Because over time, there's a disconnection, and then the enemy comes in saying, you're not worth anything as guys, and suddenly you're like, I'm not worth anything. So we raise a generation who feel like they're not worth anything. The lie comes, and it 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 keeps on coming. Ideas in our mind that give shape in our bodies, which then causes our trajectory of our souls, and that shape is how we live and what we become. When we believe the truth, ideas that correspond to a real reality, we show up to that reality and we flourish and we thrive. The opposite is true. If we believe the lie, this is where we end up. Think about your life. A lie is not God's reality. We struggle. We feel we need to strive. We question our value, our existence. We speak ill of others and of ourselves. Anybody feeling like that over the last few days? You've struggled. You feel like you need to strive. You question your value, your existence. You speak ill of others and of yourself. I know I felt like that over the last few days. Do you know what? It's a lie. It's a lie. The devil comes to lie. He's been doing it since the Garden of Eden. It's his tactic. Today there will be tactics on the football pitch. Teams will know exactly how things play. Sports teams do it. And we look at the devil and we say, oh my goodness, wow, I'm so surprised. Why are we so surprised, church? He does the same thing over and over and over and over again. But let me land with this absolute genius joy. You don't even have to think there's God. The Bible says that you can know there is. John 8:32, if you hold my teachings, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? It'll set you free. If you are walking in some of those things I described earlier, yourself, constantly feeling, still holding judgment, unforgiveness, you're holding on to a lie, and it is robbing you. It is wrecking you. It's destroying you. And Jesus stands there, and he waits patiently. He says, I've got the truth. I've got the truth. It, in terms of the truth? Is it knowledge? Is it wisdom? Yes, but it's more than that. It's a person, and his name is Jesus. And here I leave you with this, and I'm going to pray in a moment. I can't force you. I can't make you. I can't pray for you in terms of taking your place. I can't cause you. It's your choice. It's your choice. When you come back to that question I asked earlier, why did God create a devil that's going to become evil? You see, in order to love well, you have to give choice. I can't force my wife to love me. It's her choice. I can't force you to love Jesus. It's your choice. And sometimes I look at that and go, God, I wish I didn't have choice, but then I wouldn't be what he created me to be. That's someone he could love, someone I can respond to in love. Because if I can't respond and I'm forced, then actually it's not love. It's forcing. So you get to choose today. There's a truth and there's a lie. The one says, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. The other one says, I've come to kill, steal, and destroy. Just like Gaza said earlier, when we raise these kids, it takes a whole village, a whole family. As we walk on this journey of replacing the lies with our truth, it actually takes more than my goodwill. It takes more than my guts and courage. It takes other people to stand alongside me and say, come on, we're in this together. But you don't get to be in something until you make a choice. You choose. And in my heart right now, I wish I could choose for you, but I can't. Won't you bow your heads with me? Just close your eyes. We dedicate today those children because we believe the truth about their beauty, about their genius, about their purpose, and about their design. That's why we do it. Not because it's a nice thing to do and it's a ritual to do. As you've got your head bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to consider this. The fool hears this and dismisses it. But the wise person considers it. And if your conclusion at the end is that it's all rubbish, that's okay. At least you've considered it. At least you've come to the conversation. There's nothing more powerful than even in disagreement, you come to the conversation. It's when you run off somewhere else and bury your head. That's not wisdom. It's not maturity. But you come to the conversation and say, okay, I'll consider this, Heath. Because you're... eternity depends on it. Because if there is no eternity, let me remind you, there's no point to your life. There's no point to your self-esteem, your feelings, or whatever else. It's rubbish. It's worthless. You can punch me on the nose later and I'll punch you back. And who cares? But we know inside us it's not there. And maybe you're sitting here today and you think, I need to make a choice. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Nobody's looking around. How do you respond to Jesus and say, yes, I want to believe the truth and not the lie? It's actually simply just in your heart, because it's a decision between you and him. Your life will show what that decision is in years to come. But right now, it's a decision saying yes to him. Saying, Jesus, I don't know what this looks like, but something inside me today has said, yes, I got to go with the truth. There's a whole lot to unravel and unwrap here, and I don't even know where to start. But I heard Heath say that it just starts with you. Just a relationship. Jesus, I want to do this. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as a cry of help. Jesus, help me. Help me. And the enemy comes in your ear and says, well, what would your family say? What would your wife say? What would your husband say? What would they say? What would your friends say? What would? Yeah, that's a real fear now, but I guarantee you it'll fade into non-existence when one day you meet your maker. I guarantee you it'll fade into a non-existent lie when you suddenly experience who Jesus really is. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today and say, Heath, I want to make a decision. I want to go for truth. I want to grab hold of Jesus. Jesus, I've tried the other way, but I seem to end up being in bondage. I seem to end up being caught up. I'm out of options. Jesus is okay if he's your last option. You'd like it to be your first, but he's cool with it being last. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to bring you up the front. I'm not going to do anything like that, but I want to acknowledge that that's you. Won't you just raise your hand for me and say, Heath, I need to make that choice today. I need to pick between truth and lies. All you do is you lift your hand up and say, that's me, and you put it down. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Is there anyone else? I'll honor this moment. I know some of you will go away later and think on this, but I want to give opportunity to that now. Is there anyone else? Father, I give you thanks for who you are. I give you thanks for the hands raised this morning, the decision in their heart. And I thank you, Jesus, that you love us with a passion. I don't want to simplify how good you are, God, and how glorious you are. But I do want to try to communicate to us as people that the simplicity in is there's truth and there's life. Jesus, we bless you. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.